was I reviewed with the children this morning. 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus as our sacrificial sheep who died not just to save us from our sin, but that his redemptive power also extends to the healing of our physical bodies. And last week, we saw Jesus as our Lord and Shepherd. So if Jesus is a shepherd, that makes us the sheep, and we are meant to follow Jesus. But just as Jesus' life as a sheep wasn't easy, Jesus does not promise that our lives will be easy either. In our brief reading this morning, we have two potential disciples of Jesus. Now, our story starts out with crowds that were following Jesus, and they came to him for healing and for different things. And weary from all of this and being around the crowds, Jesus tells the disciples that it's time to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But at some point, Jesus is stopped by a scribe who says he's willing to follow Jesus anywhere. In his commentary, Jameson calls this person the rash disciple. Like Peter, he says he's going to do anything for Jesus, but Jesus wants him to know what he's getting into. Peter said that he would follow Jesus anywhere, but then he denied Jesus three times. Following the resurrection and the process of recommissioning Peter, Jesus tells Peter that following him is going to be costly. He says, when you're old, you're going to stretch forth your hand and somebody's going to lead you where you don't want to go. And John, in his commentary on that passage in John chapter 21, tells us that that was to signify the death that Peter, by which Peter would die. So Jesus is saying, you are going to follow me. I know you'll follow me, but let me tell you that it's not going to be easy. Because Peter had already experienced that it wasn't going to be easy when he denied Jesus three times. Peter recommits himself. Jesus recommissions him, but he wants him to know that his life is not going to be easy. But he tells him to feed the sheep anyway and follow. And we know that Peter does. Peter embraces this and he becomes a wonderful apostle, the head of the church in Jerusalem for a while. And then later James takes over that and Peter goes on and ministers with Paul in some places, because he's in the church in Galatia the same time that Paul is there, and he goes all over the place, eventually ending up in Rome. So Jesus is doing the same thing with this scribe. Jesus wants this scribe to know the cost of discipleship, and he tells him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was dependent on other people for housing. He had no home of his own during the time of his earthly ministry once he left his parents' house. Even the animals have temporary homes in which to lay their young. We know that nests aren't used all year round, only during the breeding season, and then they're abandoned, although they may use the same nest year after year like bald eagles do and ospreys and some other birds. And foxes, the same thing with their dens. They just use them to raise their young. And when their young are raised, then they're all out in the woods and they're going all over the place and exploring and learning how to find their own territory and live on their own. So if we are the sheep, we're the little lambs, then we have to follow Jesus. We don't have a den or a nest or a pen. We go out where he is because he is our home. Jesus wants the scribe to know that if he were really to follow Jesus wherever Jesus went, he would be leaving the security of what he knew. Now, this doesn't mean that the scribe wouldn't be secure because Jesus himself is security. There's no safer place to be than in the center of Jesus' will. Our home is where he is. And we don't know whether or not this scribe chose to follow Jesus. We know that many scribes did follow Jesus, and maybe this one was one of them. We're not sure. Did he rise to the challenge, or did he turn away? Well, life with Jesus is not always easy, and Jesus clearly says that. There are those who have done a great disservice to the gospel by telling people to follow Jesus and all your problems will be solved. follow Jesus and life is going to be great and wonderful and perfect and you'll never have another problem. Well, life with Jesus is great and wonderful and awesome and adventurous, but it's also a life of sacrifice. Some of us are keenly aware of the sacrifices that Jesus calls us to make. We have tried him and we have found those sacrifices to be worth it. Some of us are just starting to see that there's a cost to discipleship. And it makes us a little bit uncomfortable as we see that happening. But Scripture repeatedly declares that suffering is part of a Christian's life. Jesus' own earthly life was full of suffering from day one. Now, this doesn't mean that every day is going to be difficult and woeful. In fact, the very opposite is true. With Jesus, there is joy, even in the most challenging and difficult of sufferings, because as in all things, Jesus redeems it. Jesus redeems our suffering. Jesus sustains us in the midst of hardship and difficulty. And Jesus gives us joy abundant that can't come from the world, peace that can't come from the world, peace that surpasses our circumstances. And life with him is wonderful. I've said before that Jesus does not disappoint, and he doesn't. But Jesus wants informed obedience versus blind obedience. God has always laid out the benefits of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. But God also has emphasized that following him is about walking in relationship with God. Jesus wants us to follow him, not because of what we can get from him, but because we love him. After all, he's already saved us, so what more could we want? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. I listen to Voice of the Martyrs radio a lot. It's a wonderful, it's a podcast and you can look it up, and it's just great if you ever want to hear really inspiring stories. And two particular missionaries, one worked in southern Sudan, and he was arrested and spent nearly 2 years in prison. And at the time of his arrest, Jesus told him how long it was going to be that he was in there. Because Jesus, like this scribe, foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was telling him that he was going to be in for X amount of time. Now he kept praying, he kept working with the government, he'd get these trials, and he would think, oh, I'm going to be released. And it didn't happen until the day that Jesus said he would be released was the day he was released. And another one that I just listened to more recently was prisoner in Iran. And Jesus told him it's going to be 9 weeks. And even in that time of all these beatings that he went through and different things, he tried to actually commit suicide, but he was unsuccessful. And then on his fourth unsuccessful attempt, Jesus came to him again and strengthened him and reassured him, and he was fine after that, even though he was still beaten, he still had trials, he had different things going on. But he realized when he got out that it was 9 weeks to the very hour that when he got out of prison from what Jesus told him it was going to be, because Jesus was preparing him in advance for what was to come so that he could endure it, to give hope with the man in Sudan. It was through a dream that Jesus given him. It was a nightmare. He didn't like that dream, but he was thankful for it because it helped prepare him for what was coming. So Jesus often prepares us in advance for what's going to come, but he wants us to follow him because we love him. The second person is a little different. Jameson calls him in his commentary the reluctant disciple. This person is someone Jesus personally chose to follow him. The first one was a volunteer. Hey, Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you go. The second one, Jesus said, you come follow me. And he makes excuses about why he can't do that right now. He has to take care of an aging father. And it's unlikely that his father has already died. It's more likely that he's sick or simply older. And Jesus tells him something kind of interesting. He says, let the dead bury their dead. is rather harsh. Jesus is saying to let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. And it's interesting because funerals are sacred events, and indeed they're worship services. But again, it doesn't seem like this particular funeral is imminent, though it may be only a year or less away. We don't really know. And it's also possible that the father was spiritually dead as well, and Jesus knows that, knowing who is his and who is not. And it may be that Jesus knows that whatever the son does, the father is not going to listen to him. But in Luke's gospel of this particular incident in Matthew 8, Jesus tells the man not just, you follow me, but you go and preach the kingdom of God, which further indicates that not much was going to change at home, but there are people out there who urgently need to hear the gospel, and they needed to hear it from this particular voice. Jesus wants that informed obedience, but he also wants immediate obedience. Sometimes what is familiar to us pulls us away from the unknown, but like Abraham of the Old Testament, we're called to step out in faith. He had to leave his homeland, his home country, and go to a land that he didn't know, but he obeyed. Jesus said that those who love their family more than him cannot be his disciples. He said it actually, unless you hate your mother, father, brother, and sister, husband, and wife, and your own life also, you cannot follow me. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to treat our families poorly in the name of following Jesus, which some people have done. Pastors and missionaries have been guilty of this, as well as normal people. But it does mean that sometimes following Jesus divides families, particularly when we have family members who are not believers. It doesn't mean that we stop loving our families, that we stop praying for them, that we stop sharing the gospel to them, but it may mean that they need somebody else who is not us to reach them. And while we are called to minister to other people. In addition, God may have plans for our family members that aren't our plans. We have to remember that our children belong to God. And we have to entrust our families to God, recognizing that each of them has a unique call on their lives. And that means it may take our family member far away. And we should rejoice and be grateful in that because we know that they're doing what God has called them to do. What have you had to surrender to follow Jesus? What sacrifices has Jesus called you to make? How have you seen Jesus be the good shepherd to you in those situations? There are people out there like this reluctant disciple whom Jesus is calling that need to hear your testimony. They need to hear what you have to say about God. God wants to use your particular voice to reach them, your experiences. They need to know that Jesus is worth the cost. Maybe you identify with one of these people, the scribe or the reluctant disciple, more readily. Maybe you're more like the scribe, making promises that you're not even sure you can keep. Or like the reluctant disciple, you know exactly what God has been telling you to do, but you keep putting him off. Regardless, the call from Jesus to follow me is still there. If you're like the scribe, know that Jesus truly does want you to follow him anywhere, but he wants you to follow him because you love him, not because of a reputation or an excitement or something you might get, but because you want to be in relationship with Jesus. If you're like the reluctant disciple, respond in obedience today. You know that God has been calling you. You know Jesus has been telling you, you need to do this. I want you to do this. I've equipped you to do this. I promise I will be with you in it. But you've said, oh, not right now. Respond immediately. Because if you wait too long, you'll miss out on something good that Jesus has for you, that Jesus wants to do in and through your life. Something that only God can do that will have wonderful results for the kingdom of God. You already know that Jesus is a good shepherd. You know that Jesus will take care of you. So let him have his rightful place as Lord in your life. Follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we know that you want us to follow you, for you are a shepherd, and you will lead us in those good paths of righteousness. You'll lead us to green pastures and streams of living water. Lord, we know that you'll take care of us, that you'll prepare a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. We know that if we follow you, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And yet, some of us hesitate. So we need to recognize that you are Lord, that you're not just our Savior, but that you are Lord, that our lives belong to you, that we are not our own, for you paid an incredible price for us, that we might be yours. So Lord, let us allow you to have that place in our lives. Bring us to the point of surrender. Lord, help us to follow you because we love you. Because we know that you're worth it. Because we know you're going to be with us in all things. Help us to not deny you like Peter did, but to follow you anywhere truly. And we thank you that you promise to be with us, that you're going to take care of us, that you're going to let us know exactly what we need to know when we need to know it, and that we can trust you. So in good days and in difficult days, may we follow you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.